Hello, everybody. There we go. It's still morning, right? That's true. It's before lunch, right? Well, thank you all for joining me today. My name's Jay Schmelzer. I'm one of the directors of program management for Visual Studio and .NET at Microsoft. So I'm one of the members of the kind of central product engineering organization. Just for context, I've been at Microsoft for a little over 13 years now. It's all been spent in the developer tooling world, so Visual Studio, .NET, a lot of the services around there. So if you are a Visual Studio user, I have probably had an impact on your experience. Hopefully it's been for the better. Want to spend some time and talk to you a little bit about some other things we're doing, some services we've been starting to create to continue just to really try to increase your productivity as an engineer and get you spending more time doing software development and writing code and debugging and those kinds of things, and less time worrying about infrastructure in which you're going to go do that work on and managing those things or having to communicate back and forth between your IT department to get the resources you need. And specifically, what we're going to do is we're going to talk about a service that we brought out to general availability earlier this year that takes advantage of Azure to create the ability for you to spin up environments to do your development and test or anything in between there. And along the way, I'll talk a little bit about how we're using that within the teams inside of Visual Studio to increase our productivity, as well as how some of our bigger customers are starting to adopt this and work with it as well. So we'll try to do a mix of demos. Some of them will be live demos, some will be more conceptual slideware demos to show you kind of how these things all fit together. We've got a nice size audience, so if you have questions along the way, feel free to throw up your hand, shout out at me. We'll take those along the way as we can. If it gets too out of control, we'll hold them till the end. My only ask is just don't throw things at me. That's usually a bad thing. And one other thing, it is, if you do see something you think is cool, it's okay to applaud. I don't get offended at all when those kinds of things happen. So, cool. So, let's first start out and talk a little bit about some of the challenges we have as engineers and software developers and why we've made this move to investing in creating cloud-based environments to do some of this work. A lot of it, what it comes down to is, as a software developer, right, we are becoming an even more important part of our businesses that we work for, right? You've heard lots of people talk about, every organization becoming a software organization, regardless of what industry you're actually in. The role of software is becoming increasingly more important. That means the demands on us as software developers are increasing, right? We're being asked to deliver more, deliver it faster, deliver it across multiple different types of devices and configurations and so forth. And trying to manage all of that with physical hardware, physical resources just becomes unruly. We also know that there's IT organizations that sometimes aren't as responsive to the needs of a software developer. And so they want to have a little more control and things in their data center. And we hear all the time, and hopefully none of you are in one of these organizations, but I've heard and talked to customers where the time to provision a new virtual machine inside of their private data center is upwards of 6 months just to get a new VM provisioned, right? That's kind of crazy. Hopefully you're more in like the hours or days, but we'd really like to take that down to minutes and make it as simple as possible for you to spin up and get a hold of the resources that you need. So rather than this kind of workflow where you're submitting a request to IT to provision a resource, you go back and forth with them a few times, eventually you get the resource, inevitably something's not quite right in the way it's configured, getting a little more power back into your hands as an engineer to create those kinds of environments exactly the way you need to, while still giving overall visibility into the IT organization, into your leadership teams as well, so they can manage the resources at a global level, but give you the freedom you need to work. So, increasing agility, increasing your ability to deliver things faster is what led us to create this service inside of Azure that we call Azure Dev Test Labs. To be honest, this grew out of an internal service that we had created inside of Microsoft, specifically the .NET engineering and Visual Studio engineering teams did this in our private cloud, where you can imagine that as someone building a product like Visual Studio with a support lifecycle of 10 years, a lot changes over those 10 years, right? operating system versions, hardware capabilities, and so forth. And often we will get bug reports on an older version of Visual Studio that is very unique to a specific operating system or a specific piece of hardware. How did the team manage that? Well, the engineers that have been on the team for a long time, you can walk down the hall, or you used to be able to, you could walk down the hall and you could spot them right away, because inside their office was this mountain of old PCs, right? They never gave one away. Like, every couple years they'd get a new PC and they'd just keep the old one and put it on the stack, right? Because you never knew when you were gonna need to spin up a specific version of an operating system, specific version of Visual Studio with specific patches to reproduce a bug. So they just collected all this stuff. And in a lot of cases, they probably even became fire hazards with the kind of wiring and plugs that were going on. If you look at the team now, you don't see that anymore. When you walk through the halls, you'll see one or two machines under their desk, maybe a machine and a laptop, and they're using the cloud to create all these unique variations of configurations for them. And they spin it up, use it when they need it, and then tear it down, and no one's paying for it, and you can quickly provision stuff like that. And I'll show you a little bit of how we do that. But that's really how we tried to go and initially get into this idea, taking advantage of kind of resources across an organization that can be pooled, but still giving you the flexibility to create the images specifically that you needed. And then we've built on it from that, and extended this experience to create for some even more optimized sorts of usage scenarios and workloads. So let me jump in. Let me just give you a quick tour, a little lap around what this service is, or what this capability that we call DevTest Labs does for us. So over here, I'm logged into the Azure portal, and I've specifically clicked into one of the labs that is set up for my team. My team's got a couple different labs that we work in. And you can see, when I look at the overview, we see that I've got a couple VMs that I've specifically created in that lab. I'm an administrator of the lab, so I get to see a lot of other stuff. If I go in here and we look at all the virtual machines, you'll see that here's the list of all the machines that and images that members of this part of the team that are working in this lab have created. And you can see they're in various states. Some of them are stopped, some of them are still running. There's lots of different types of operating systems and environments in here. So you see a lot of Windows, but you also see some Linux-based environments, some Ubuntu servers and so forth, that are all up there and available. So the team can go and provision these resources when they need them, configure them that they want, use them when they need them, shut them down when they don't, but still keep kind of the definitions around. We'll talk about some of these things in a little bit more depth, but one of the things that we've done to sort of enable this a little bit better, and I don't have a lot of them in this lab, but we create essentially blueprints, or what we call formulas, for an image. So what we can do is quickly spin up and create a very specific image, a virtual machine environment, with the kind of software you need on it. And I'll show you this a little bit more here in a few minutes, but just know that that's a concept, formulas. As a manager, as the admin, I can have visibility into some cost management capabilities. So I can see how much the lab is being used. Now, fortunately, we're getting towards the end of the month, so there should actually be some decent data in here. And you can kind of see how our usage is trending over the month. And you can see kind of where we're consuming compute. This isn't a particularly big lab, so it's fairly inexpensive, even though there are lots of machine definitions. Only very few of them are actually running and ticking the compute meters. We could also go in and look at this by resource, or by whether it's a specific lab, whether it's a specific user, images and those kinds of things, to get a sense of where things are. We can control the environment a little bit. So we can use some policies to hone and trim down what's available inside of a lab. Specifically, this lab is wide open. I'm a great person to work for. I let them do whatever they need to. So what we could do is, you see I've had this turned off, but if I turned it on, I could select specific base VM images, image sizes that we make available to labs. So if I only wanted moderate size virtual machines to be available as the base kind of compute container, I could restrict the other ones. So if I didn't want the big G-series Godzilla kind of machines around, then we could just not have those be available to users of the lab. We can also control how many virtual machines an individual user can have. So we can say, hey, we only maybe want 5 5 virtual machines per user or 10, just things to help you kind of control and manage your costs a little bit. The intent is to set this up, give you some basic control levers, and then just let the team loose on what they want to do and kind of get out of their way. Probably the coolest thing, and if for no other reason, automatic scheduling, right? So we have the ability to set a policy that by default will automatically turn off virtual machines at a specific time of the day, specific days of the week. We'll do the opposite as well and automatically spin them back up. So when you're home over the weekend, you don't have to worry about, oh, did I forget to turn off my virtual machine when I left? Am I racking up costs over the weekend when it's not being used? You know, these settings will allow you to just automatically turn that off. Anybody that's worked in the cloud, anybody that works in Azure, usually when I show them this, there's somebody in the room that goes, oh, shoot, I got a VM running that I'm not using right now, right? It's awesome for people like me that do demos a lot where I'll run out of here and go catch a flight and forget to turn off my virtual machine because I've completely forgotten what I did until I get a bill later in the month. So just fun utilities. I will say that also all of this stuff is exposed via REST APIs, so you can program against it as well. Yeah, question. Sure, so the question was, can you do this across different time zones? The startup and shutdown is set by at the lab, and you can specify the time zone that you want it to do. So for teams that have geographically distributed, where you have teams in different parts of the world, typically what you would do is set up labs in different parts of the world and then kind of coordinate them. So for a couple reasons. You'd want to do that, one, for latency, because you want the physical machines to be as close to where those folks are. So if you have a team in India, it's probably better to have their lab sitting in a data center in India rather than sitting in a data center on the East Coast or in the central US, because that network latency would show up. And then it also allows you to get more time zone locale specific things. Does that make sense? And we have, I'll show you some mock-ups of how we can shuffle things around between labs and make it easy to still get all the benefits here. And there's a whole set of things that you need to do when you're actually planning out your lab, and we'll point to resources for that. I mentioned that these all have an API, so they're all REST APIs. So you can do some fun things with this. We had an intern wrote a phone app that used geofencing so that when you left the radius, the proximity of your office after a certain time of the day, it would automatically shut down, initialize shutdowns on your images. When you got close to the office in the morning, it would start spinning up your virtual machines, right, so that they were there and ready for you when you got in the morning. Just fun little things that you can do to customize your environment even more. So that's sort of one set of policy. The next piece of configuration that I'll talk about is just sort of another set of general settings for the labs. One of the things we do, and we'll talk about this more throughout our time together, is we have what we call formulas, which is essentially a blueprint for an image, and the elements that it brings in are called artifacts. So an artifact would be a tool, it would be your app, an MSI, something like that, something that you want to kind of install into that image. We store all those artifacts in repositories. In this case, they're using Git repositories, and there's a public repository where we have a bunch of shared common artifacts, things like Visual Studio, the Azure tools, .NET CLI tooling, Docker tools, those kinds of things are all artifacts that sit in the public repository that anybody can pull in. And then you have the ability to set one or more private repositories to your lab. This is where you would put tools specific to yourself, your app as well, like if you want versions of your app to be installable, selectable as part of an image, those definitions would sit inside of your private repository. Virtual networks allow you to configure the networking. Marketplace image is another thing. A formula starts with a base image. We can pull images out of the Azure Marketplace. And here, again, same kind of thing. You can limit what images are available. In my case, because my team works across everything, we've got them all enabled, so they can pick any image out of the Marketplace as a starting point for a lab machine. Yeah, that's probably enough of the kind of general walkthrough and overview. But so essentially, that's just, that's the thing that an administrator, someone setting up the lab, would deal with a lot of these things. For the rest of the time, we're going to look more at what an individual user, an individual engineer on a team would actually do as part of working with the lab. So there's your quick around the world tour. So what we believe we've enabled here and what we're striving to do is create an environment where it's self-service. You don't have to go and ask permission for every image, every virtual machine, every resource that you want to create. The owner of the lab can provision the upper bound of resources. They can provision individual resource allocations as well by limiting the number of virtual machines, limiting the size of those machines, the types of images. Once you're inside those constraints, as an engineer, you're able to go grab whatever you need when you need it, as long as it was part of that overall definition. You provision these things very fast. We'll show you some examples of just quickly spinning up an image. My favorite one, if you do, out of curiosity, anybody in the room do SharePoint development? No? Yeah, a little bit. Typically, someone doing SharePoint development to get your development machine set up is, if you're really good at it, it's probably going to take you a day. If you're most people, it's going to take you a couple days to get everything configured. In this kind of environment, we can create a formula for a SharePoint development image, and in a matter of minutes, get a brand new, clean development environment stood up. It takes about 15 minutes, I think, to spin up a basic SharePoint development box with SharePoint installed and all those kind of things configured. So really, really increasing your productivity, reducing the amount of time you spend watching installers run and so forth. Part of the thing that we'll see in the lab is we can take these formulas, these templates, and we can share them across users of the lab. So now we have consistency across our development environments. Some examples of this that we see quite a bit, teams that work with multiple development organizations. So you may have a set of consultants or vendors or contractors that are working with you as part of your application. Creating a lab environment where you all work together, you can know that you're sharing the same base configuration of your environment so that when they're building the software and they deliver it to you, you don't have all those strange configuration issues that happen because they didn't set their machines up exactly the same way. You can share all these kinds of environments and provide a much greater level of consistency there. And then because it's a REST-based API and programmable, you can integrate this into your toolchain. I'll show you some examples of how we can integrate it into a toolchain environment with Visual Studio Teams services and TFS. But you can, if you're using Jenkins or using whatever you want, you can integrate this into your environment as well and make it part of your general pipeline so you can be producing images into the lab for testing and so forth. So we call it Dev Test Labs, but really they're, a set of kind of scenarios or workloads or uses that we're seeing people do. Everything from what we call, like to refer to as DevBox in the cloud, so you aren't doing development locally on your machine, you're remoting into a virtual machine in the cloud to do your development. Testing, this is a place where, this is actually where it started, and most of the usage is inside of the Visual Studio and .NET teams. We use these images to spin up, an image with last night's build and run tests in or do repros of bugs in. Training is another great one. You're going to go and do a course for a bunch of developers and introduce them to stuff. This is something that I use it for a lot. And rather than spending time getting everybody's machine configured and set up correctly, you define the image in the lab. Everybody creates those images. You know they're starting with the same consistent base. And you can go spend the time on the training and not on the configuration of the environments. We see it used for sort of trials, sales type engagements. And then, of course, events or hackathons, those kinds of things, where, again, you want to make resources available to people in a consistent manner. You can spin them all up, define them, spin them all up in the cloud quite quickly. So let's talk about the first one, the DevBox in the cloud. Essentially, the idea here is that rather than going and having to configure everything locally on your PC, on your laptop, instead you define it in a formula and it now becomes an image in the cloud. And so you're doing your development remoted into a cloud environment. Nice thing here is that you can have different size machines, right? So you aren't constrained by what you can procure as local hardware. You want to do development on a 24 core, 56 gig machine. Well, we have those in Azure. As long as that's in your price point for usage, you can spin them up and you can do Visual Studio development in that kind of environment. Just give you a sense of what that looks like. If we spin back over here to the portal, you see I've got a couple things running here. We'll click into this one. This is an image that has Visual Studio 15 preview. And I've already got it spun up, so we'll just go ahead and kind of come in here and connect to it to get an RDP session going. Oops. We can now connect in. We're now working. In this case, we're now, you know, doing our development in an Azure image, in an image in Azure. In this case, I think I'm in East US, so completely other part of the country. Spin up Visual Studio and just start going and doing my my development, right? I can create new projects. I can connect this into my source control repository, especially if, you know, if my repository is in the cloud, so if I'm using Visual Studio Team Systems or GitHub or something like that, we can connect right into our repository, do our syncing, do our pulls, merges, and all that kind of stuff, just like we were sitting locally, you know, on our desktop PC. And you'll see, you know, that I intentionally put this in a different part of the U.S. so you can see that we're not really experiencing the kind of latency and network latency here. The pipes are big enough that even in a conference like this with a bunch of developers that are all camped out on the wireless, and on the network, we're still able to get good responsiveness and performance from these kinds of environments. Now, Visual Studio itself is still Visual Studio itself, so sometimes it's not super fast. Was I going to show you anything else there? No, that's probably enough for that. So you can go in, you can get a base image. Oh, sorry. I'm sorry, I didn't quite. Peripherals. Yeah, that would be a limitation right now. So basically, because you're in a virtual machine in the cloud, it can only see what it can see. Now we have other solutions that are similar to this in the mobile device space. So there's the Xamarin Test Cloud, which is a cloud of physical mobile devices. So you would use something like that to run your tests and so forth. And behind you, there was another question. Yeah, so multi-monitor support and those kind of things. Basically, you are now, the limiting factor for your experience is going to be the remote desktop client. So as good as it can get for doing, you know, monitor sharing and multi-monitor kind of stuff, that's sort of where your experience is gonna top out. So it's a limitation today, especially for people that are in like the command center kind of experience. To change that? So in terms of enhancements to the remote desktop clients, I'm not the right person to tell you what's on the roadmap for them. Between friends here, I could imagine that as we are pushing more and more workloads and experiences to be cloud-based, that can't be a constraining factor for us anymore. So we're going to need to go and continue to enhance those remote desktop client capabilities to allow you to remote that kind of stuff. So, yeah. So the question was, can I take a snapshot of an existing virtual machine and move it up? Absolutely. You could build a local machine, and I'll show you here in a minute when we go through some examples. You can bring existing VHDs up. You can use tools that would convert VMware images to Hyper-V kind of images and get them in Azure. So essentially any tool that you have to get a IaaS image, right, in Azure can work to be a base image, create a base image for something like this as well. Yeah. So the question is, how is this any different than the way regular virtual machines are charged and so forth? And the answer is actually no. But what we do is, so when we shut down the image, you're not going to be charged for it, right? You're not charged compute time for it. You will still be charged for the storage of that image, right? But that's quite modest compared to the compute time, right? Well, for the most part. And there's even solutions coming that will reduce that cost for you as well. So this service is just sitting on top of the existing raw compute and storage and those kinds of things. That's actually an important clarification. This service doesn't cost anything. All it costs is the resources you're using within Azure, right? So you're just paying for compute. You're not paying a premium on top of that for this sort of additional set of experiences. Was there another hand that was up? If not, so let's kind of talk through sort of a little bit more of this. So formulas, this is what allows you to create this reusable base environment, this sort of definition for what you want people to use. Often you need to connect, while this is running in the cloud, there may be resources that are on-prem or part of your corporate network that you need to connect to and work with. Sometimes it's your code repository, sometimes it's data sources, whatever. Well, using virtual networking and ExpressRoute, well, any virtual networking will work. ExpressRoute's gonna give you that more dedicated, higher bandwidth connection to your organization. You can do that. So you can have your dev machine in the cloud, you can authenticate through Active Directory, Azure Active Directory to your domain. You can call back into and consume resources from your corporate network while you're using your dev image or test image in the cloud. So you can create these connections back and forth. I mentioned that there are things coming to make it even easier. One of the things that was recently added, a capability, was the ability to attach, we call them data disks, right, or additional disks. So maybe you have a really large data source that you want to, that you need to use as part of your development, and you don't want to keep recreating that. Well, you can have that be on a specific data disk, and that can get attached to a new image that's created in the lab, so you can reuse that stuff. Some people will use this for big code bases where you don't want to go and have to, every time you bring up the virtual machine, sync all of your code back into that virtual machine's disk. You could attach that disk if it's something that doesn't change very often. More often, this is for large data store, data sources and things like that that people need to use. I mentioned this can be hooked into one of the other scenarios we have here is, so that's sort of the aspect of using it as a development environment. Some people are doing that. I've got a couple large customers that are looking to move to that direction. Most of them start with SharePoint as their first one because it's so easy to configure it and get it going. The other one is using it just for test, right? So, okay, I'll do my development locally on my machine, either because I have peripherals that I need to work with, or we've invested in these awesome multi-monitor kind of setups for everybody and we have good hardware. But I don't want to go and create, I don't want to have a whole lab of machines that we use for testing and testing different versions. So you can connect it into sort of your pipeline and work with it as part of a development environment or part of a test environment. So in this case, what you could imagine, we're using VSTS or TFS as the example here, but you can imagine as part of your CI system, you have a build, it produces an artifact that goes into the definition of a formula that can be put into your development environment, test environment, integration, and so forth as part of your normal release pipeline. And so these images and DevTest Labs resources can be used in conjunction with those pipelines. Within VSTS and TFS, that's done through adding a task. You see we have an Azure DevTest Lab provisioning task now. So as part of your build, you can say, okay, go provision me this resource. I think I have a screenshot of the details of that. Oh, no, I don't. You went in here, you would basically, when you add this, you'd say, okay, provision me this resource using this formula, get the image there, and then we would add the output of your build as an artifact that gets deployed into that image when it's created and so forth. I mentioned the idea of using this as a standard environment for trainings or hackathons. We do this quite a bit. In this case, what we're doing is we're taking advantage of those templates, right, and those formulas to create a standard image that again gets instantiated by multiple people as they're creating images in the lab. Again, great place to know you're all starting from a consistent standpoint. Maybe this is a good time to take a little bit of a pause. So an example of how I've used this in the past, if you have MSDN, if you're a Visual Studio person with an MSDN subscription, you have credits, you have Azure credits, right? So you have usage credits inside of Azure. I was working with a customer and we were doing a half day kind of hands-on lab for introducing them to ASP.NET Core. Rather than spending the entire half day working on ensuring everybody's machines were appropriately installed and configured with the latest bits, we just created an image inside of the Azure Dev Test Labs and had all of them come in and just instantiate that and use it as part of their sort of free credit hours for those few hours they needed to do it. Didn't have any issues as far as spinning the things up. We knew everybody was consistently set up the right way, and we got to jump in right away to actually doing the hands-on part of the training we wanted to do and not having all the time spent hands-on configuring and installing software. Yeah. So the question is there a way to set up an image of Office 365? Well, you can create client and server-based images. And I'll talk about some of the things that are coming up. I mean, Office 365 is a little bit more challenging because you now have, Office 365 is a hosted kind of service, right? So you could, if you have development subscriptions and test subscriptions or test accounts, right, you can have those connected into these various environments so that you know you're talking to, you know, the development data set of Office 365 from their development environment, and when you move to test, you're doing the test ones versus production. Does that make sense? So that's kind of how you would configure those things. Yeah. Yeah, so the question is there a way, you know, what I've been talking about has really been focused mainly on single box scenarios, right? What about the real environment where you start, you know, that may work for a developer that's working, you know, with everything in the one box machine, but once I go to test, I now have got a farm that I work with, and then production is even bigger. Do we support that? The answer is yes, and I'll show you a little bit about how that works in a minute. Is there, yeah. So the question is, how do you secure these? How would you secure this environment for like a training or a hackathon kind of thing? Yeah, there's a couple different flavors, right? Essentially, for a lab, you control who has access to the lab, right? And you control that through, depending on how you set up your lab, either Azure Active Directory or Microsoft, you know, account, you know, kind of the Outlook, Hotmail kind of accounts, those, any of those kind of things. So that's one level, right? So if you're doing this inside of your organization, then you would use your own organization's user directory, and you just basically associate the people that are going to be part of your training event into that lab. In the case of an external thing, there's a couple things I've seen people do. Either they spin up a lab with a set of accounts that they just say, hey, you're user one, you're user two, user three, here's your credentials, go, right? Or they ask for, you know, their Microsoft, you know, a general login credential that we can use and provision the lab with. I've seen both of those happen. So it's not earth-shattering what we do, but it's pretty basic stuff. Cool? So it's a little bit of that training scenario. Again, there's multiple ways that you can create these things. You can take an existing virtual machine that you've built up and configured and save it as one of these templates, right? And just to show you how ridiculously easy that is, all right, if I come back over here into the Azure portal, you'll see that when I look at my machine, one of the options I have right here, right, I think you guys can all see that, is create formula. And when I choose that, what the DevTest Lab service is going to do is say, okay, we're going to take the state of that virtual machine image, and we're going to persist it out as a new base image starting point, right? And so now you have that available as the starting point for your next set of stuff. So you can create these formulas in a very declarative fashion. They're just ARM templates in Azure, right? So you can specify all the stuff, and then we'll go execute that ARM template to build up your image. You can also do it by hand, right? Construct the virtual machine the way you want to, and say, okay, persist this as the base, right? And that'll be my starting point. It's a little bit less flexible because we don't know what all the pieces were that were in there, and we can't reapply them all the time. But in some cases, that's just what you need to do. You need to hand twiddle some things, so we make it easy for you to do that. Yeah, so Cool. And you can do it in two flat flavors. You can do it as a formula. You could also do it as just a flat base, right? So a formula can now be the beginning of, you know, new artifacts and new things being added to it as part of a more dynamic creation process, whereas a VHD is just an image. Yeah. So these, what you're doing is, under the covers, we're just, for the most part, all we're doing are creating IaaS images, right? Infrastructure as a service images that are VHDs. You could, and you can access these things if you have the permissions outside of the lab, right? So if I wanted to, I could switch over. We'll see. We'll see how much stuff I've got in the subscription. Like, if I was to come over here, just to show you what I'm talking about, and if we were to look at my virtual machines, we should see that same JOISH-VS, you know, 2015 or VS15. Yeah. So that image is just here. Like, as a person with administrative rights, I can look in the things within the lab, but I can also see their instantiation that exists outside of the lab because it's just a virtual machine sitting in Azure. And now I can do everything that I could do with that virtual machine in Azure with things that were created in a lab. So I can export them, I can move them around, I can control them that way as well. You can think of the lab as just sort of a management experience sitting on top of those core resources. So whatever you can do with Azure VMs, you can do with DevTest Labs VMs, is the short version of that. So just a quick example of a reusable image. Now, so that's great. A lot of times, what we've mostly been focused on is the idea of an engineer kind of walking up to lab and creating their image, right? And showed you and talked about a couple different ways that you can set what the base looks like for that. And actually, just to make sure everybody sees it, let me go back here. Let's close that. Go back into my lab. So that, you know, was a little bit of a mix of what the admin and what the user would do. As a user, I just come in here and I say, okay, I want a new virtual machine. I go pick from my list of virtual machines. And let's say for fun, I want to use this one that, let's use this Ubuntu one. Just specify the name, right, all that kind of stuff, and boom, it's going to go off and provision that resource for me. And in a matter of minutes or whatever it takes, I'll have that machine available to me. So it's sort of a manual way of doing those things. If you have images that you know people are going to want to use, you can do what we refer to as an image factory. So now you can pre-bake, right? See, bakery image, like we'll bake, right, an image for you so that it's readily available as part of this list. So when people come in the morning, they just grab it. They don't have to go through the process of waiting for all of these things to spin up. It's pre-baked and ready and waiting for them. This is what we use inside the team for testing Visual Studio builds or .NET builds, right? We'll use an image factory, so each night, after the nightly build is done, we'll also go bake an image with that on it, and we'll even pre-spin up some in the morning so that when engineers come in the morning and they're ready to run their tests on last night's build, they don't have to wait and spend time installing or anything like that. They just grab an image, run their tests, and they're off and running. In a lot of cases, the tests are also already run at night as well, and they have the image with the results, and they can just go in and start debugging and diagnosing the failures. So in this case, what we do is we just take all those same concepts, right? The artifacts, the formula, right? So the recipe, right, for your image. We hook them into your pipeline, your CI pipeline, and we create this set of images, right, that are baked. We can then go and do additional things on top of that. So in this case, we're showing an environment where we have three different teams. We have three different labs that we want to distribute these images across. So we'll just run, you know, a set of scripts after those are done as part of the process to push these images into each of the labs and make them available. This is how, when you have that distributed team, and you have a team in India, a team in the US, and a team in Europe, you know, you'd create three different labs. So they're more geographically located to those teams. From the central point, you'd create the image and you'd push it out into each of those lab environments so that in the morning it's available to them and ready to go, and they don't have to copy it across. So you create the golden image. I talked through most of this. That gets checked into your repository. from there, you know, it's instantiated and distributed across the different labs that you need to use it from. Here's an example of what that would look like using sort of the Visual Studio Team services and release management stuff to actually manage that image bakery or that factory for you. So here's an example of, this is an example from the team, looks like it's from the the DevTest Labs team themselves, of what their kind of pipeline looks like for actually deploying nightly updates and nightly test images of this service itself into their various environments. And you can see kind of where they're at along the stages, where failures happen and so forth, and you go in and pick whatever it is you want to work with and diagnose and debug. This is what the details of one of those pipelines would look like. So you see you have a bunch of steps. And in this case, what we're doing is taking advantage of kind of the PowerShell task to be able to execute PowerShell scripts to do a lot of this image manipulation and movement around and those kinds of things. So here we're just grabbing an image from one repository, executing a script to move it around to other parts of the lab. And it's just sort of, again, next level detail, just showing you what the specific steps would be, right? Sort of get everything set up, create the image, distribute it, and so forth. So that's kind of a quick look at what some of these capabilities are. You know, the ability to quickly test things, the ability to quickly have, you know, consistent environments, self-service, allowing the engineering teams to go work on and get what they need and manage things themselves, and have it be a repeatable part of your process. So where are we with this? Well, there's a lot of capabilities that already exist. I mentioned this is we use the ARM-based templates on the covers, so we're using the same Azure intrinsic terminology and capabilities to create these lab images. It's just an ARM template. You know, we've added the ability to add data disks, so you have a second, you can add disks with persistent data to them into your image and not have to copy that data in as part of the creation task. We can have images expire, so you may want an image to only be around, or definition of an image to only be around for a certain period of time. You can set an expiration on those things. We connect into the secret store in Azure, so credentials, connection strings, those kinds of things can be securely stored as part of the secret store, and the lab understands how to pull them out just using the name to get them into and make them available to the image, so you don't have to have, you know, your secrets sitting in plain text or something like that somewhere else. I mentioned the cost thresholds. This is today mostly more of a guide, right? We started adding a little bit more capability to start, you know, limiting things based on cost as well, but it's mostly just a management and budgeting kind of tool. And finally, is around, you know, enhancing the shutdown experience. So you saw that we can set, you know, a policy for opt-in to automatic shutdown. We can set a time, you know, time of day and days a week that happens. If an engineer is working late, you'd hate to suddenly have the image come out from underneath them. So we hooked in the ability to do shutdown notifications. So now if you're working on your image, and let's say it's set to shut down at 7 o'clock, at 6:45, you'll get a notification that, hey, you're gonna get shut down in 15 minutes. Do you wanna delay it? And you say, yes, defer it for a couple hours, and we'll defer the shutdown. Or you could even say, don't shut me down at all, and we'll leave it up, right? And we'll ignore it and won't take it down on you. So just making it a little bit more appealing to an engineer or user of the lab. So what's coming? Well, one of the things that, probably the most important thing, and this is where someone mentioned, so today it's ARM templates. We're adding what we refer to as bring your own ARM template. And this is what allow you to have your own ARM template definition that can now be a multi-node environment, right? So now if you want to create the dev single box ARM template, you can have that. You can have a test environment that now goes from a single node to multi-nodes and has more of a farm and so forth. So you can start customizing your environment beyond what we do just in the UI of the portal and so forth to meet your needs. Artifacts today are a little bit tricky. That's the thing that gets added into the VM as part of the image. It's a little tricky to figure out what's actually happening there, so we're improving the diagnostics capabilities of that so you understand if it fails, why it fails. Secrets today are at more of an individual level, making them more team shared. so you can have consistent connection string definitions and things like that. Claim is a fun one. So this is the idea that we can not only bake images, we can pre-provision some, and then someone can essentially rent it, right, or claim it for a period of time, right? So you could grab an image out of a pool, an instantiated image, work with it, restore it back into that pool later when you're done if you wanted to, rather than just complete spin up, tear down kinds of things with those images. Those are the main things kind of coming up there. So it's available today. It's generally available. It's just part of Azure. If you are an MSDN subscriber, I encourage you to activate your Azure benefit. And then I also encourage you, if you're just going to play around with infrastructure as a service, VM images, do them all in the lab, because you get that auto shutdown thing, right? You don't have to worry about, did you leave it running or anything like that. Your images can shut down. This is also a great way, and one of the ways I use it in a different lab that I have, is for trying out new software. You want to try the latest preview of the next version of Visual Studio, but you don't want to put it on your production laptop or your production desktop. Go pick an image out of the marketplace. Just spin it up there, and now you can go, you know, explore the new capabilities of the product, try new things, and when you're done with it, you can delete it and throw it away, and it didn't have any lingering impact on your physical environment and machines. And of course, because you can connect these things into your world, you can get your projects, your source control, all those things connected into your environment and use it as a primary machine as well if you'd like. Make sense? So that's really the meat of it. That's kind of what we're doing, why we're doing it. Kind of seed some head nods throughout the time. Is this an interesting thing? Actually, quick show of hands. How many people had never heard of this before? All right, that's mission number one accomplished. You now know about it. You know what we should do since you haven't heard of it before? There's one little trick. I'm going to give you a trick. How to find it. So if you're in the portal, oops, wrong thing. Oh yeah, sorry. Yep, that's okay. We'll get ourselves back to kind of the default land of the portal. So by default, you'll come into Azure and it'll look something like this. If you want to create a new lab, one of the ways to do it is just go into services, scroll down through the list of services, right? And you can find down here in the development space, right? Dev Test Labs. Of course, you can go up here, and if you type Dev Test Labs in the search box, you now get brought into, you know, the Dev Test Lab environment. You can see I'm part of multiple labs. We can create a new one. When you say new, this is going to walk you through that basic definition of a lab once it loads. Come on. Not really. Essentially, all it's going to ask you some basic questions. Where do you want the lab, right? Physically, what region? And then start walking you through some of those other configuration things of, do you want to limit the marketplace? Do you want to limit the VM sizes? All that kind of stuff, and now you can make your lab available. If you roll out a lab to a team to make it easier for them, because the main interface is the Azure portal and it can be a little hard to find things, you can create what's referred to as a custom dashboard so that when your team members come in, well, two things. One, you can send them a deep link to that dashboard now. So you can give them a link, takes them right into their lab, right? And it also means that when they go in there, their default experience is just focused on the lab and doesn't show you all the rest of the stuff that's part of the overall Azure environment. Labs are mostly today restricted to the core concepts of Azure. So virtual machines, networking, storage accounts, things like that. SQL databases, caches, those kinds of things aren't currently resources the lab manages. You can use those resources from within a lab, but they're not things that the lab would manage. So, for example, the lab's not going to turn off a SQL database at night. That's still a resource that lives outside of that. Something we'll look into. It's a little bit trickier, as you can imagine, to pull those kinds of things off. Questions? Yeah. Yeah, so that's actually one of the ways I'll use this a lot as well. You may have noticed in our lab we had a Windows Server 2016 base image. Typically what that one's really for is when I'm playing around with containers and things like that, I will spin up, you know, an instance of that Windows Server 2016 image, and I'll use it as my target for pushing containers around and playing with it. When I'm done with that, I just let it spin down at night. It works just the same as any other image as far as automatic shutdown and so forth. So you can use it that way as well. And you can get more sophisticated if you want to have multiple of those into a bigger multi-node topology. That's where this bring your own ARM template concept comes in, and you can define a multi-noded environment. So who's going to go create a lab? Who created one while we were talking? Ah, yes, love it. Cool. As I say, we're continuing to enhance and build this. There's links all throughout the experience to provide feedback, report issues, encourage you to use those, interact with the team. The team's blog is linked from here as well. We try to keep people up to date on what services are coming available, what enhancements are happening, tips and tricks for making things work. If there are any other questions, I will give you guys the opportunity to be the first ones to hit the lunch area. I'll stick around for a bit. If you have other questions, feel free to come up. I appreciate your time today, and enjoy the rest of your time here at Dev Intersections. Thanks.